Man, the weekly price gains in the grain markets this week are astounding. I mean, it is stuff that is normally reserved for the middle of the U.S. growing season with triple-digit temperatures and no rain in the forecast. It is absolutely amazing what a little bit of incentive, a lack of selling, and a group of very willing buyers can do to a market.
Live from Rally Watch 2021 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yes, I am Chip. That is Davis. This
Hello.
Is AgriTalk. Yeah, man.
Let me ask you something.
I
just recently went to the eye doctor. He recommended I get glasses, so I got some.
Yeah.
And I'm doing something right now I don't think I've ever done before, and perhaps no one has ever done before. Is it wrong to clean your glasses while you're still wearing them? You always see people taking off their glasses to clean them.
That's right.
Cleaning them off in place.
Are you?
Yeah. Is that wrong?
Well, I think some people are a little concerned about eye injury.
Okay.
There's that.
The inside of the lens is the tricky part.
That is the tricky part. Yeah. If you are using anything that might have some fumes associated with it, some sort of a cleaning fluid, that might cause a little irritation.
Dude, all I used was turpentine, bro. It's working great.
My glasses, and you know what? My glasses didn't really require the trip to the eye doctor. My glasses just took looking at a sheet of paper and not being able to read it anymore. And and then they got that nice rack of stuff there at Walmart.
Sure,
fixed all my problems, man. I can read again.
Yeah. You know, in that scenario, I wonder how you can trust yourself if you can't see very well and you acknowledge that to the point where you're standing in front of a rack of glasses.
Yeah.
How you trust yourself to choose glasses, you know?
Well, that's right. That's right. It a little trial and error. You buy two or three different pairs, different powers, and see which one works out. Now, I'm telling you that when you are standing at that circular rack of eyeglasses, somebody that you haven't seen for quite some time, but you know them well, and they are more than willing to make fun of you, will walk by. That's going to happen.
I hear that's how Harry Carey chose his glasses.
Is that what it was?
I'll just take this blob from the middle here and try it on.
Well, those look great. It's almost like a signature look, don't you think?
A little bit.
If
definitely.
I'd go with that. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Dude, let's get to what's going on in these markets because we got some big movement to talk about.
Well, yeah, Chip, daily trading ranges on the grains narrowed from yesterday, but it was a more volatile session with corn, soybeans, and wheat spending time on both sides of unchanged.
Yep.
Late strength helped to lift all markets into the close with July soft red wheat futures settling above the opening range. Today's high in July soft red topped yesterday by just a quarter of a penny, but that's enough to keep momentum pointed to the upside. This week's cold temperatures deep into hard red winter wheat country and continued dry conditions in spring wheat areas added supply side support to wheat prices this week. The demand side was supported by China's purchases from global suppliers. July hard red wheat, 5¾ cents higher, 673¼. July soft red firmed a penny and three quarters, 712¼. September spring wheat, 12½ cents higher, 733¼. Those global suppliers, France. China bought some French wheat this week.
Exactly. And they may be buying from others that we'll find out later. I think they bought from the U.S. this last week, too. We just need to get that confirmed in either a daily export sales report early next week or in the weekly export sales report on Thursday morning. On the week, July SRW up 57¼.
Wow.
July HRW up 64¼. That's 10.43% in a week. And September spring wheat up 56¾ cents. Big moves.
Old crop corn futures led today's price advance. Continued dry conditions for Brazil's Safrinha corn crop and a forecast calling for more of the same provided much of the support for corn. USDA this morning announced the sale of 336,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations and the sale of nearly 137,000 tons for delivery to Guatemala. Both sales for new crop delivery. May corn futures posted a new contract high and a new contract high close, baby. December corn futures opened lower and spent the day on the negative side of unchanged. But the contract did climb back up to close nearly steady. May corn futures a nickel higher, 655 and one half. July corn closed, at 632 and a half. That's up a penny on the day. December corn, 550 and three quarters on the close, down 2.5 cents today.
Okay, it's going to be interesting to see the commitments of traders report that comes out in just a little bit. Now, it's through Tuesday. So it doesn't have yesterday's big move in it. And yesterday's big move was supposedly driven by this massive amount of fund buying. I want to talk to Don about the influence of the expansion of the trading positions for speculative funds and what kind of impact that is having on the markets right now. That's that group of very willing buyers that I was talking about at the start of the show. May corn, heads up here. Up 70 cents this week, 11.96%. That's the big advancer in the grain markets this week. December corn was up 38.5.
Old crop beans also posted a new contract high and contract high close today. New crop bean futures stopped short of a full test of resistance at yesterday's high, but did close higher and above the opening range. Again, that should keep momentum in the market pointed to the upside. Today was the ninth consecutive higher close in November bean futures. Wow. Ahead of the restart of today's session, USDA announced the sale of 132,000 tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery to China in the 21 and 22 marketing year. Bean oil saw some profit-taking to end the week, but the market pushed sharply higher this week on support from the bio and renewable diesel markets. May bean futures 6.5 cents higher, 15.39 and three quarters. July firmed a penny and three quarters to close at 5.16. November bean futures closed at 13.41 and one quarter, up 3.25 cents.
May beans on the week up $1.06.5. November beans up 67.5 cents. Go ahead and read and let's get the rest of it in here quick.
Sure. Well, cotton futures accelerated a month-long upside price recovery today. New crop contracts spiking resistance at 85 cents. May cotton 287 higher, 87.51. December cotton up 118, 84.93. Position evening ahead of the monthly cattle on feed report resulted in mixed trade in live cattle futures. June fats 12.5 cents lower, 115.72.5. October up 87.5 to close at 122.05. May feeders benefited from short covering to close 65 cents higher, 137.67.5. Snout side drawdown on pork in frozen storage during March, twice the normal size. May lean hogs up a buck 90, 109.35. June hogs up 217.5.
Wow.
105.72.5, Chip.
Okay, get this. On the week, June live cattle futures down $3.45. May feeder cattle were the leader to the downside in the cattle complex, down $6.05. That's a 4.21% decline. May lean hogs on the week up $6.87.5. And May cotton on the week up 380 points. That's a 4.54% gain. You guys, the list of stuff that Don Rose is going to talk about, man, stick around. Each year, there are billions of bushels of corn out there just waiting to solve the world's most pressing issues like climate change. Demand fluctuates. Exports are unreliable. So how do we use all that corn right here at home to change the world? POET is working hard to ensure reliable domestic demand for ever-increasing corn yields. Not only is the need for clean bioproducts made from your crops continuing to increase, nationwide adoption of E15 is also on the horizon. This would increase the amount of bioethanol in the nation's fuel supply from 10 to 15%, resulting in a market of almost 2 billion bushels of new corn demand each year. That's 2 billion really good reasons to support biofuels. It's time for farmers and policymakers to unify around E15. Bioethanol is the key to successful agriculture, and successful agriculture can change the world. Learn more at poet.com/ag.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with us. Hello. Quick, I'm looking at a tweet from our buddy Oliver Slope at Blue Line Futures. The cattle on feed report was out. The total number of cattle on feed on April 1 would, up 5% versus expectations of a 6.1% increase.
Okay.
Marketings came in at 101% versus an estimate of 101.2%.
Yawn.
And get this, Davis. Placements, placements in March, up 28% from year ago.
What?
Yeah, but it's against expectations of a 33.9% increase.
Oh. So that was actually a little disappointing then.
Well, a little bullish. Yeah, it's what kept the on-feed number below trade expectations, is the placements were lower than expected. All right, let's bring
in
Don Rose.
Numbers?
Oliver.
One more.
Thank you, Davis. Thank you.
A little free press.
All right, let's bring in Don Rose, U.S. Commodities. How are you, Don? It's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, great to be back, and good afternoon to you guys.
All right. Hey, the cattle on feed report, anything? It doesn't feel like it's going to be a big market mover, or am I just not seeing it right?
Well, you know, I heard you guys talking about those big numbers. You know, we're looking for 134% over a year ago, but came in less. Now, remember, a year ago, we were in the middle of the COVID. And so the placement figures were way down because people were growing cattle outside the feedlot because you didn't want to put them on feed because you didn't know if you're going to be able to slaughter them. Remember, we had slaughtering plants shut down. So actually that number is a bit positive. So we were comparing to a very low number last year. So it actually is a little bit positive from a placement figures because the less numbers. And I think what it's really saying is we're starting to grow these feeders outside of the feedlot because of the corn price where it is. And so wait a little bit and see. So bottom line, a little bit friendly to the fall months.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying there. These feed costs have affected the feed yard margins enough that they're looking for any kind of cheap gain that they can put on them at all right now, Don. So you're right. Feed them outside of the feedlot before you move them in and get that last burst of gain on them. And what do you like about the cattle market right now? Anything?
Well, you know, I think about the cattle market. I mean, you know, the trade got way too bullish. Seasonally, we usually go down. I think the thing that you have to like about it is the fact that cold storage report on both cattle and hogs said that our demand is just very strong. Of course, we thought it was. We know it is. And so I think you reach a place where if the packer would share a little bit, you know, $600 a head profits plus, that's enough that I think the cash market could bottom in here. Now, seasonally, you're supposed to buy cattle, you know, here right in this time frame and sell June hogs. So we'll see. I think we've whacked enough out that, you know, that the market probably finds some good support here, Chip.
Gotcha. All right. You know, this beef demand, Don, nothing short of impressive, is it?
No, I think when you put this much money in the consumer hands from these stimulus, you have pent-up demand for this long, you have the food industry restocking, and you have the consumer out here spending, been tied up, and you're going into grilling season. It's kind of a plus across the board. And boxed beef, by the way, is the second highest on record, only to last year. Remember when we went to 475 on beef?
Yep.
Just because of the tightness and the COVID.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, this is, it's just absolutely amazing what's going on there. And it's providing, we've got solid demand for pork in this environment too, Don, and this hog market this week, good grief, up 6.7% in the May contract. I don't think the June contract quite did that. Well, maybe it did. I'm not exactly sure. But the May up 6.7%, that's a big move for that hog market at this time of the year.
Well, the hogs, you know, they are just plain positive right now just because the demand is underneath the market. And remember, Chip, being across the, you know, here in the Midwest is the disease issues have just been unbelievably tough for guys. And then from an expansion standpoint, really, lumber cost and costs are so high that expansion is just on hold. So you have that. But you talk about demand. The March stocks, you know, were just bullish. Hams, the supply is down 34%. That's just a big number, the lowest number since 1996. So to put it in perspective, usually belly stocks are going up. We're building stocks this time of year. They were down 6%. So demand, it just shows us demand's very strong.
Goodness, goodness, goodness. And China. China's in this market enough that we got to continue to pay attention to what's going on with their hog numbers, right?
You know, it's just so tough. It's hard to get good, solid numbers out of there. But, you know, they continue to tell us that the hog herd is building. We'll see. Their year-to-date hog prices are down about 36% versus a year ago, despite we're getting African swine fever breakouts a little bit at a time. But, you know, they're just saying that the herd is on the rise. Production the first quarter, they put at 32% over a year ago. Their feed demand for hogs, they reported out of the ag minister, up 74% versus a year ago. So we will see how it goes, you know. But that's it looks like they're trying to build their herd. It looks like we have to be a little careful when they stop buying from us. Our demand slows down. If our numbers start to build back, you know, you could have a little bit of a struggle again. But probably a few months out.
Gotcha. Okay. Any urgency? Are you feeling any urgency in either the cattle complex or the hog market to do some risk management? I should say straight hedges.
Well, I think at these levels, now the cattle markets had basically a $10 drop in short order on the futures in the front month, so a little bit cautious. I would wait for this market to bubble back up. The hog market, I think, is a little bit different. I think if eventually we're going to get into a slowdown from China. So if you rally back there, I think you should use some risk management. You know, all these things, Chip, you have to be very careful of on what type of risk management you use, because the other side of it, you may like the price that you see historically, but then when you look at the input cost, you're going to be feeding $6 corn, you're going to be feeding $4 corn or $8 corn. So you have to make sure you cover both sides of the crush if you're getting too aggressive. Otherwise, leave your hedges kind of in a synthetic, looser pattern.
Right. Okay. Let's get this conversation started on the grain markets now, Don, because you know what the question is that comes into my phone, my email box, everything is it's a lot of head shaking and a lot of wondering, but everybody wants to know just what the upside potential is in this market. I'm not giving them a number, Don, because this is such a different market. It's been an incredible run.
Well, it's been an incredible run. It's also been a bull market since last August. So, you know, this one does have a bit of a beard on it. It is an awful lot of news that's already known out here that continues to get be regurgitated in the market. And we know that we need to have things go right as we go forward. Got to get the right acres, got to get the right yields, you know, as we now is well documented. But things can change, Chip. Just look at a year ago where we were sitting. We were on our knees, not able to see cash corn, you know, afraid that it could go to 250, and now just short order is different. So when you're at price risk management levels from a price, not counting all the other stuff, you owe it to yourself to take a look at some kind of risk management, because we know that the black swan can hit us anytime. I mean, who heard of a COVID a year ago, 19? Who heard of BSE in cattle years back? There's just so many things that can happen, so you make sure and protect yourself when you can. You know, and you've got a lot of good strategies out here using some options. So
sure.
As far as price levels, I mean, you're sitting at some solid resistance.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything in particular that you're watching for, or any market in particular that you're watching that would – signal that you would take as a signal that this move to the upside is done?
Well, you know, I think, Chip, you know, when you look back at this whole thing, this is a demand-driven bull market. So you have to look for the demand to slow down. We're not really talking about supply right now, although that it was the issue months ago. So what I'm really saying is you have to watch the basis levels. If they crack so far, they're red hot. Watch these spreads to see if the bull spreads die and you go to a bear spread. Watch for signs technically of these funds starting to liquidate. They're adding. So I think some of those things like that, the old school, go back to and take a look at.
Okay, very good. You mentioned one right there at the end, Don, that I want to talk about some more when we come back, and that is the influence of those professional trading funds on the market. You know, it feels like earlier this week they started to get a real understanding of what a little bit of buying can do to these markets, and with their expanded limits now, expanded position limits, they are something to contend with. All right, Don Rose, U.S. Commodities, right here, AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Exchanges hike maintenance margins after big gains in grain markets. The CME is widening the daily price limits in May, sparking concerns about heightened volatility. We'll have those details for you at the end of the show today. Cargill is ramping up canola processing in Canada. ICAR cuts Russian wheat crop forecast. U.S. farmers have at least 30 major concerns about Biden's 30 by 30 proposal. Listen to the conversation that we had in today's first hour of AgriTalk. Go to agritalk.com or on the AgriTalk app. Biden in the next few days will unveil new tax rates for the wealthiest Americans. Bolivia bans exports of beef. Cash cattle trade begins at softer prices. And hog packing margins turn negative. Give ProFarmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, got Davis with me, and we are talking with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities. Before we get back to the conversation with Don, if you would please, Davis, recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat 5 3/4 cents higher today, 673 1/4. September spring wheat 12 1/2 higher, 733 1/4. May corn futures were a nickel higher, 655 1/2. December corn closed at 550 3/4. That's actually down 2 1/2 cents today. May soybean futures, 6 1/2 cents higher, 15.39 3/4. November bean futures closed at 13.41 1/4, up 3 1/4 cents. May cotton, 287 points higher, 87.51. June live cattle, 12 1/2 cents lower, 115.72 1/2. May feeder cattle down, let's see, I said it wrong. I'm so used to saying down. May feeders up 65 cents, 137.67 1/2, and June hogs up 217 1/2 to 105.72 1/2. All told, though, pretty rough week for the livestocks in general.
Yeah, oh, it was. Yeah, for the cattle complex, it was. That June contract off 345. May feeder cattle down $6 and a nickel. It was pretty tough. Let's bring Don Rose, U.S. Commodities, back into the conversation here. Don, weekly changes here again real quick. May corn up 70 cents. May soybeans up 106 1/2 on the week. I mean, just incredible moves. The July HRW contract up 64 1/4 cents. I said in the open that's the kind of stuff that's normally reserved for the middle of the U.S. growing season with triple digit temperatures and no rain in the outlook. But it's a different environment now, isn't it, Don? It's a different animal that we're dealing with.
Well, yeah, I think when you look at it, it is, you know, in all these years, all these markets are different each and every time. And, you know, I think if you step away from it, I think really what's happening is we need to send a huge signal to buy more corn acres. And certainly we're doing all we can to the upside in price as quick as we can as we're planting to make sure we get that done. You know, where is it going to come from? Double crop wheat areas, where is it going to come from? Maybe you take off the first hay, plant corn or soybeans, just some strange type of things. But yeah. I think that's what we're trying to do. First, get the acres. And then the other thing is we know that we're using stuff too fast, so we have to slow the demand down. So, you know, we're shooting up as fast as we can, and, you know, we're hitting some of these areas. The May options go off the board, squeeze people. Deliveries are next week, same time here next week, the end of the week. So we're going to find out how tight this is from a deliverable standpoint. So it's a bull market, and it's trying to ration and buy acres.
Yeah. Yeah, on the acre side of things, it's crazy how the conversation, the conversation last fall was, you know what, yeah, we're going to need some more acres for corn and soybeans, but we're going to get those prevent plant acres back, so we'll be just fine. To, geez, I don't know if we can get enough acres to grow enough beans to relieve the tight situation, to corn's doing what it can to get as many acres as it can. It's been such an interesting progression of a conversation, Don. The soybean to corn price ratio last week, and this is off the Dease corn and November soybeans, last week ended at 2.49 to 1. This week, 2.44 to 1. Beans, it's like the new crop bean market isn't even playing along anymore.
Well, you know, that's right, Chip. You know, and I think it's one of those that, you know, by nature, this market, in my experience, always adds risk premium to the market. It's a nervous group out here because of the margin. You know, you only have to put up about 5% of the market value to control the commodity. So it's one that most always overshoots the market, and I'm sure we're going to do that again. It's just a matter of at what point. I think what the market's really saying, remember, Brazil's soybean crop was larger to much larger than the trade thought. I would argue that it was probably 150, 200 million bushels larger than people thought. Remember, okay, we thought it was going to be a loser. So I think what we're saying is we're working on the corn acres, and we're probably going to have to get a fair number of beans imported from Brazil, maybe from Argentina, although those crops a little bit short. But we're going to bridge the gap. It's just a matter of how, when, and remember, we don't run out. At some point in time, August, we're going to have soybeans probably down south coming to the market, wheat mm-hmm. coming to the market. So we'll bridge the gap, but it's going to be a nervous, volatile year as we can't miss too many marks.
Yeah, yeah. That's great perspective, Don. Really good. Real good. Talk to me about the influence of the expanded position limits for the funds on these markets. It seemed to me earlier this week that it was almost like they realized just how much influence they were having, and they doubled down on the effort, and we had the big move yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think that's it. And, you know, it seems like it's coming at a strange time. I mean, we're expanding the amount of contracts that the funds can have. We're expanding the limits May 2nd, like you alluded to. You know, yeah. Corn goes to 40, soybeans to a buck. And, you know, it's going to create an awful lot of volatility. These options are going to blow up. But, you know, Chip, when I started in this business, the maximum that you could buy was 600 contracts, and then expanded to 1,200. Then it went to 12,000, then 24,000. Then they said, shoot, just buy what you want type of thing almost. So it just continues to expand, and the volatility picks up.
Yeah. It certainly does pick up, and the volatility, as you've mentioned a couple of times, it's going to make things tougher to manage. But it's going to result in some opportunities for us as well. Okay, here's the question that I've been asking analysts on the show here, Don. Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being record yields for corn and soybeans, and 10 being 2012-like conditions, what's your level of weather anxiety for 2021?
Yeah, you mean the price level or the personal anxiety?
Yeah, your personal. What are you feeling anxiety over the weather for 2021? And what I mean by that is how much influence will the weather have on these markets as we get into the growing season?
Well, it can go both ways. You know, the best time to have a dry drought condition is right now because we get the acres. So if you step back, you know, we're maybe we get a chance to get the acres versus a wet year. But no doubt, I always say 80% of these markets boil down to weather regardless, and then we fill in the blanks the rest of the way, and it's going to be again. So, you know, I think this is one that we got a sizable crop out of Brazil soybeans, a little bit less on Argentina, so we got a big buffer there. Remember, between those two countries, they raised 8.2 billion bushels of beans. This last year, we did 4.1 billion roughly. So, you know, we made it over the hump from, you know, from the big country. So that's a big plus. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of these, Chip, that historically 650 on nearby corn's tough to get through. So we're stall out right here. And then $8 as you approach past the 650 on the way up. 7, 7.58, the rationing becomes acute, and the same thing on soybeans will occur. So, yeah, it's a lot of anxiety is coming here. But, you know, you have to pace yourself in these marketplace or you'll just be a nervous wreck.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. What other parts of the world are you watching on weather conditions right now?
Well, you know, I think, Chip, there's a number of them. And again, you know, things can go very much right. We don't talk about the things that are going right. But, you know, Brazil, they need to get some rain in some of those areas. About 60% of the corn's pollinating right now. So let's see if we get some rain. It looks like maybe 10 days out, we got some chances of some rain. See if those yields come back. But, you know, we're talking about the problem areas, which we do in the news a lot. You know, we've got the Northern Plains is a problem. Europe's a problem. But then on the good news, our big buyer, China, their weather conditions could not be better. And it looks like they're really trying to encourage the producer to plant more corn, plant more soybeans, and we'll see once what they come out with. But they're having some good weather, so we're watching for that to continue as we go forward. And then, of course, you know, our weather here is paramount as Northern Hemisphere is on the focal point.
Right, right. So we've got all that in the pot. Now let's stir in a little bit of political uncertainty between Russia and Ukraine, and it feels like 2014 all over again.
Yeah, you know, and that's another one that, you know, it's amazing in these bull markets how this news just keeps bubbling up. You go, yep. What are we talking about now? You know, where did that come from? Didn't even think of that. Well, you know, what we have right now is Russia, you know, very much a concern. They have about 128,000 troops on the border between Ukraine and Russia. Will they have a Crimea situation where the Russia tries to come invade? You say, well, what's that matter? Well, Ukraine is a huge corn producer, big exporter. They sell an awful lot of corn into Europe. So if there's an issue there, do we slow down the export pace? Does the U.S., does Argentina have to plug the gap? So, you know, we're watching the political unrest there. And, of course, then you can't say enough about China. How does that relationship go as we go forward, as we're doing a 180 in dealing with them? There's no doubt about it. You know, the other thing, Chip, when you look at it, the government, you talk about climate control, just wanted to throw that out, that the USDA looks like this year, they say they're on target with their new program to increase corn acres on CRP from 20.8 million to 25 million. Now, what a silly year to think of that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Don, I went off on it this morning in the first hour of AgriTalk. I think you'd have been proud of me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Todd, it is always so good to talk with you. Thank you, sir.
You bet, and thanks for inviting me, and I hope you have a great weekend, and all your listeners do the same.
Very good. That's Don Rose, U.S. Commodities.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
I don't like this. How you doing, Davis? Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, really good.
I'm Chip. That's Davis.
That's no way to start a segment.
I realize
what's
that as soon as I said it, and that's why I'm...
What's wrong?
But I just opened up the 6 to 10-day forecast. It's got the below-normal temperatures back in for April 29th through May 3rd. Right down the middle of the country from north to south. Minnesota, Iowa, eastern Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas... on over to Michigan, Indiana, down through Mississippi, expected to see below normal temperatures. Now, the West is warming up. We've got above normal temperatures over about the western third of the country, something like that. And the below normal precipitation is back in the forecast for the Corn Belt as well. North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, down into Oklahoma. The northwest half of Missouri, western Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, all in the area of below normal precipitation for April 29 through May 3rd. I know I normally do this at the end of the show, but this weather is becoming more and more important.
Yeah.
I thought I'd go
Clearly
ahead.
It's gotten your attention.
It did. Now, the 8 to 14 day looks better, May 1 through the 7th. We've got normal to above normal temperatures expected over most of the country. And we've got some above normal precipitation in the forecast there, too. North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, western Illinois. So a chance for some above normal rains in that area. And then outside of that, we're looking at mostly normal rain chances, again, for May 1 through May 7. Okay? But it's just it just blows me away how these markets are trading at this time of the year. And there is some obvious concern about weather here in the U.S. I mean, there just is. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so I didn't want to be the hall monitor on this, but we never did get a number out of Don. Yeah, so here's what he said on the weather anxiety scale, okay? He started out saying, well, it's about 50-50. Yeah. So to me, that sounds like a 5. But then he said, this point of the year, about 80% of our concern is
sounds
for
like
the weather.
Eight.
So that sounds like an 8.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to call him a 6.75.
Well, and the final comment that he made on it was, yeah, there's a high level of anxiety in these markets over what to expect from the weather going forward. So I wrote him down as a high level for the answer.
That's not a number either. I think you failed to understand the concept, both of you. Let's see. I'm going 7.2 for Don Rose. Don Rose is 7.2 on weather anxiety.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Okay.
You were saying.
There's one other thing that made me say, holy smokes. I was just kind of sitting here looking around, and I glanced over at the TV, and believe it or not, the Cubs game is on. I don't know how that happened. And it is the top of the fifth inning, and the Cubs are leading 11-0 over the Brew Crew. Yeah. Over the Brew Crew.
All right.
Nephew Michael, take that.
Okay, before the week escapes us here, I wasn't on this morning's show. I read the news, and then I ducked out for a variety of reasons. I usually do on Fridays. It was a great show. Some terrific topics covered there. There is one I want to ask you specifically about, but there is also this from Jim Wiesmeyer.
I have stretch blue jeans.
Stretch blue jeans.
How did Jim Wiesmeyer's stretch blue jeans come up on the show? One more time in case you missed it.
I have stretch blue jeans.
I don't even know. I kind of went numb after hearing that.
Yes. Yes.
And it the next thing I knew, we were in a commercial break and Sean Haney had virtual smelling salts going to wake me up.
Well, if you haven't already, beloved listener, download the AgriTalk app or go wherever you get your favorite awesome podcasts and listen to this morning's show. In all seriousness, aside from it was a wonderful show. Now, CRP, there's talk about that, and they've attached that to the environment. You increase CRP acreage, now all of a sudden the environment's threatened. Yeah. I think I have that figured out. Is the implication there that Brazilians are just going to mow vast swaths of the Amazon and grow corn there instead? Is that how they connect those two?
that is one of the unintended consequences that opponents of the Vilsack plan to encourage enrollment through higher rental rates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so on. Dude, that's part of the concern.
With the incentives. With the incentives. Now, I'm going to get started here just a little bit. We're seeing the exact same problem in unemployment right now.
Yeah.
I started looking around and started noticing everywhere I go, Chick-fil-A, Menards, everywhere that I go, Quickstar, Casey's, Come and Go, you name it, Help Wanted. They're posting, like, you can make $15 at Chick-fil-A right now. It's right out on the marquee.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because people are getting paid to sit at home. Now, we're going to increase incentives not to grow food, not to grow corn, wheat, feed.
Yeah, I don't get it, dude. I'm
sorry, I need to.
You need, hey,
the same problem
on this. There's plenty of room on this soapbox for us all, okay?
The same problem applies, right? Who's going to farm if it's cheaper not to? Who cares?
Right?
Well, then all of a sudden, now we start losing market share to Brazil because they're not afraid to mow the Amazon. We lose market share to Australia, to Ukraine, to fill in the blank.
Hey,
and lost market share.
You're exactly
that's easy to get back, right?
You're exactly right. I did promise that I would talk about the changes to the daily trading limits. So I'm
going
to get this in there real quick. These will take effect May 2nd. Corn, 40 cents. Soybeans, $1. Soybean meal, $30 a ton. Soybean oil, 3.5 cents a pound. SRW and HRW wheat futures, 45 cents. Those are the new daily trading limits for the markets starting May 2nd. Good rant, dude. I enjoyed that. Come on, bring it more often. You guys have a great weekend.
See you Monday.
We'll talk to you later. This is it.